Well, good morning. It's odd to have the microphone. I was hoping not to, but we'll do this. Like I said to the little ones up here, it is very difficult to love our enemies, isn't it? I mean, we want to retaliate. We just want to hit back. Like when I was mad at my sister, yeah, I wanted to throw that glass at her. Did I want to hurt her? No. You know, did I apologize? Yeah, I felt horrible. I felt horrible because it caused her to have a bloody nose. But I'm sure we all have a story like that. Today's gospel is kind of hard because we have to love our enemies. That's the first thing that Jesus says, is to listen and love your enemies. That's not an easy thing to do today, is it? Most of the time we want, what is it? Called karma. We're hoping that karma gets back at that person. At least I do, anyway. Love constitutes the essence of discipleship. So if we're truly to love our enemy, we are still to disciple that person. Friday, I got to meet with a group of women at seminary. One of the things we discussed was how to make women more welcome in a white male evangelical place of learning. That was one of our topics amongst many, but that came out because we didn't feel comfortable. So instead of berating them and instead of getting after them, we decided, no, we're going to take initiative and find out what we can do. We talked about how discipleship is not truly practiced, and most of all, we needed to band together as women to stay strong. We needed to do discipleship. I mention all this because even in the seminary setting, love constituting discipleship is missing. As Christian men and women, are we truly loving, discipling those outside our building? It's easy to disciple one another within church, right? We can disciple our friends with no problem. But what about the person on the corner or the person on the bus that you may not know? When Jesus talked about loving your enemies, there's three types of love. There's eros, agape, and philia. What the gospel presents is that it's an agape love, which God gave us all. I mean, when he gave us his son, that was agape love. So, do we really love our enemies? It took me years to love the enemy of my mother and my ex-husband. The wrongs that were done, I held on to them, which made me unhealthy, unable to truly love any but those who were nice to me. Obviously, I loved my children, but other than that, I was very, very distrustful. I have since been thankful for the abusive mother making me the stronger woman I am today. I've even since been thankful for the abuse dumped on me by my ex-husband because it sharpened my blade of truth in God's word. He would use God's word against me. In all of that, Jesus wanted his disciples to portray the habits of loving, doing, blessing, and praying. So how do you bless your enemy? How do you bless the person that abused you or stole from you or did wrong? We are disciples, and we should be loving, doing, blessing, and praying. There's no power in the world comparable to the agape love that God showed us and that we need to show people outside. We need to disciple to those that we don't know, to those that we don't even like. Because everybody's made in God's image, we should love them. Some people are easier to love than others, yes. But there's a reason that we should love one another and love those. Everybody's made in God's image. Haters should be treated with goodness. Enemies should be treated with love. Both of them are to be prayed for. Gandhi's example liberated India from Britain. He went on a hunger strike. He was on a sit-down strike, but he did not raise a hand in violence, nor his voice. He showed us that through peace, through love, things can be changed. Martin Luther King's example furthered civil rights for the African American. He spoke out in love rather than hate. He said, this is a quote from him that absolutely, I like it. I fell in love with it, and I think it makes a lot of sense. He said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." That's the essence of what it is to love our enemies. Prayer toward reunification in Germany had the wall torn down in 1989. So prayer did work. Prayer works in a lot of ways, but that was huge. Christians can rarely speak of doing unto others what you would have them do for you. Yes, we're doing Family Promise. Yes, we do Stephen's Ministry. And we do lots. But is our heart truly in what we do? Or are we just signing up to do it because it's the right thing to do? Because that's what's expected of us. I would hope that your heart is in whatever you decide to do. Do you do it joyfully? Do you sign up with joy? Do you sign up with love? Did you ever let something go when robbed? I know what I always used to tell my children, and we've had bikes stolen, we've had fishing poles taken. My line was always, well, somebody needed it more than we did. And we never really went after it. We just let it go, which is tough. I've not been robbed in my home, wherever I've been, other than whatever's outside the home, the bike, the fishing poles. But the Christian thing to do, like it says in the gospel, is, you know what, don't go after it. Let it go. Maybe you didn't need it. Maybe that person needed it more. We don't know why they took it. And I know that's hard to say because you don't want to let that TV go or that computer or that radio or that bike. Love your enemies, do good, and lend. It's uniquely Christian to love our enemies. It's uniquely Christian to do good. Who can truly do this? Are you willing to follow Christ to the cross? I used to not like John 3:16. It was the pat answer that every Christian went to, for God so loved the world. I found in the ESV Bible a better way to say it. And I included verse 17 because verse 16 on its own just doesn't make as much sense as when you pair it up with the following verse. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And we heard today where we aren't to judge one another at all. And that's hard to do. I mean, when I threw the glass at my sister, I was judging her. I was mad at her. I felt that she shouldn't have said what she said to me. I don't remember what that is today, but at that moment it was very important. But I judged her, and I shouldn't. C.S. Lewis, who I love his writings, in The Problem of Pain, he wrote, "Love is something more stern and splendid than mere kindness. Even sinners can be kind to one another. Even haters can be kind to one another. But love is more splendid than kindness." I want to finish with Francis of Assisi's poem. I'm sure you will all be familiar with it when I start it. But this resonates with me, has resonated with me for years and years. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it's in dying that we're born to eternal life." So think on, how can I take this poem, this prayer, and use it with my enemies, with people I don't like? Amen. Amen.